Good evening, church. Let's turn our Bibles to Psalm 119. We pick up in our second bay of scriptures here in this chapter, the longest chapter in the Bible, 176 verses. And tonight we'll pick up our reading in verse 9. We'll read down to verse 16, just taking a bay of scriptures or a section of scriptures a week, unless the Holy Spirit directs otherwise. So I'm just going to read these verses as you turn in their totality, and then we'll pray and we'll move through them expositionally. The psalmist says in Psalm 119, verse 9, he says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" And he gives the answer in the second half of the verse. He says, "By taking heed thereto according to your word. With my whole heart have I sought you. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word," in verse 11, "have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth." Verse 14, "I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate," verse 15, "in thy precepts, and I have respect," the psalmist says, "to the Lord, unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes, and I will not forget thy word." So we're transitioning from the first bay of scriptures, which is the way of blessing, to the way of cleansing. The psalmist here is going to tell us in these verses, how do I move forward when I fall? So, Lord, certainly a subject matter, you obviously know this, you put it in your word, God. We as your followers, we need this type of instruction. Lord, a righteous man falls seven times. And Lord, the goal here, the intention by us as your followers is to get back up and to follow after you. So we thank you for this portion tonight that you've given to us. We ask you that you take it and break it and bless it and multiply it, Lord, and feed us abundantly with your word. Fall on us, Holy Spirit, we pray. Give us ears to hear and hearts to receive, Lord, and bring restoration to the individuals in this space, Lord. If they have fallen, if they're falling down and they can't seem to figure out how to move forward, Lord, please bring resolve tonight through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I'm going to give these things to you now, and then I'll point them to you as we move through. But the psalmist here is essentially going to give us a few things by way of summation as to how we move forward when we fall. How are we able to be cleansed? He's going to say that we have to give heed to God's word. We have to hide God's word. We have to herald God's word. And we have to honor God's word. So he's going to speak these things to us as we move through this portion. I want to just sort of back up a little bit before we dive back in and remind you of the goal of the writer here. He is somebody who has come to absolutely love the word of God. This is the largest chapter, not just in the Psalms, but in the Bible. It's essentially in the middle of the Bible, and it is about the Bible. 173 verses out of the 176 mention the scripture. And it's important that I say to you again that it's not the same word used for the Bible all the way throughout. There are several terms that the writer employs to give us different angles of what the scriptures are about. Scriptures just means script, things that are written down. But you got things like thy word, thy precepts, you got thy law, thy commandments, thy testimonies. There's about eight different words that he'll use here that are sort of synonyms to one another, but again, give different angles, give different snaps, views of what's in front of us here in God's word, just to sort of amplify it and open it up to us. We took some time last Wednesday to define those things if you need to go back and listen, but what's more important than just the word of God to the writer is the God of the word, because in all 176 verses is a mention of him. So 173 out of 176, the word of God, 176 out of 176, the God of the word. And the writer here has just found so much resolve So much healing in the Lord. And each stanza, bay, portion of scriptures chopped up in 22 sections of groups of 8 verses, he highlights something about the word that has been so significant to him, that has been so meaningful to him. And for me last week, it was the blessedness of walking in the way of the Lord. And this week, it's the blessedness of having a way for cleansing when you get dirty, when you fall. How do I move forward if I've fallen, if I'm backslidden, if my heart is hardening, if I'm getting lured into some type of temptation or sin? How do I move forward? Because the reality for the believer is that that will always be a situation in our lives where we need to be able to move forward. And I'm thankful tonight that the scriptures are so honest that this type of question can even be posed. That the Lord and his word isn't so prude, as it were, that it doesn't deal with the reality of the depravity of humanity. Yeah, I'm thankful, like the honesty of scriptures. Hey, how do I get cleansed? The psalmist says. Aren't you thankful that he wrote that? Because if there was never anything, like if it was only like verse 1 and 2, look back. Blessed are the undefiled. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, that seek him with their whole heart. Don't you feel like, man, I might as well just close the book and go home? I don't know how many of you guys want to be honest on this Wednesday evening. For me, I would be very discouraged. I'm thankful that I come to this portion where he says, okay, Lord, but how does a young man cleanse his way? Well, what does a young man do, Lord, when he gets dirty, when he gets stuck in a rut, when he finds himself in a place that he knows he ought not to be in? And I think that this is such an important portion. I want to hang in this verse for several minutes because now more than ever, people are coming in here. I don't know if you realize this, but people are coming in here messier. Yeah, more messy than ever before. More broken, not just messy, but more broken, more exposed to sin. I think of our junior high kids and, you know, even those at the tail end of elementary, certainly high school. Think about what they are exposed to. I mean, even myself, somebody who's in their 30s, we really don't have a clue how much this next generation is being bombarded with. The technology that just exposes them to sin ongoingly. There are no breaks. They sleep with their phones. They wake up to their phones. The amount of information that comes through these devices. It's not just, you know, when I was growing up, it was like HBO. It was those channels that maybe certain things, images would bleed through. Now on the evening news, I caught just the beginning of the 5 o'clock news before I came back here. You know, they're talking about monkeypox, and Doug Peterson, is that his name? The news anchor in 13? I always mix him up with NFL quarterbacks, his name. But, you know, he's talking about, with the monkeypox thing, he says so nonchalantly, he says, yeah, so if you're a man who practices sex with men, it would be a good idea to just take a few weeks off from that. This is essentially his words, because I think it's 98% of the spreading of the monkeypox is among homosexual men. So anyways, next topic. There was a terrorist attempt attack today on Gates Shiloh High School, and there's floods over here, and there's fires over there, and the news just continues on, and the weather for this week is, and it just keeps going. The exposure to sin is just so nonchalant in the culture. It's just, oh, what's the big deal? There's no, like, blushing anymore. There is no, like, oh, geez, I hope this does. So you think about how people are coming in here. You think about what myself and the other teachers of God's word throughout the building are up against. Now more than ever, it's messier. People are coming in more broken, more exposed to sin, more addicted to sin. Addiction to all sorts of things. More addicted to sin than ever before in our history. As far as I study and read. And they're coming in without any hope of being forgiven by God, without any knowledge of how to be cleansed of their sin or the hold of sin. How can that be broken over their life, my life, our lives? And we come to the Bible tonight, and maybe we thought it'd be a peaceful, easy Wednesday evening where we could take a snooze. And God says, hey, listen, here's the remedy. Here's the resolve that all of humanity is desperate for. How can a young man cleanse his way? And listen, I'm really glad for the adjective young. Because, you know, the young man is the hardest man. The young man is the most prideful out of all the bunches. The most stubborn, the most severely tempted easily. And think about it. What if he said, how can the 90-year-old grandma cleanse her way? And there's no knock on a 90-year-old grandma if she's in the room, but a 90-year-old grandma's sweet. A 90-year-old grandma is innocent for the most part. A 90-year-old grandmother, right, like is past the heat of hormones and the raging within of the flesh. Even a young lady, both in ancient history and in modern day speaking, a young man is the most difficult man. So if a young man can be cleansed, then the hope of the word of God tonight is that anybody can be cleansed. So I don't know if you caught that right at the start of our study tonight. How rich just that opening phrase is. How gracious the Lord is that the Holy Spirit said, you know what, writer? I want you, when you pen this, not just to ask how can a man be cleansed. I want you to describe him as a young man. I want you to describe him as like a 15, 16-year-old, pimply, just hormone raging, testosterone through the roof, the strongest flames of lust burning within that guy. How can he be cleansed? Because if he could be cleansed, anybody can be cleansed. That's the intent here. That's what you are, and all, it's not supposed to be funny. In all sincerity, that's what you're supposed to see. Because if we can say that he can be cleansed, if there's going to be a resolve, and there is, then everybody else in the house has a way to be cleansed. Okay, that's a beautiful thing for you and I just to take notice of here tonight and to be encouraged. A hard-hearted, strong, passionate, severely tempted young boy. If he can be cleansed, anybody can be cleansed. Lord, how can a young man cleanse his way? The word way can translate tracks. Like, you know, like a tire that makes tracks in a soggy grass or in dirt. That's important for us to see. There's something to open up there in that word. In other words, because when you are young, you make tracks that create the path for the rest of your life. So if there are young people in the room tonight, if you didn't go to junior high for some reason, or you're in high school, you're in the college age group, you should lean into this portion, not just how can you be cleansed from your youthful ways, but also to understanding that your ways are becoming your tracks, and your tracks are going to lay out the path that you tread on should you not allow the Lord to break the stronghold in your life. In other words, you play with pornography, you play with lust, you entertain those things as a teenager. If you don't repent and surrender to Jesus, that can stay with you into your marriage, into your adult years, and then eventually ultimately lead to devastation. As a Bible teacher, I just got to open everything up that's in front of me. You got to see these things. There's a severity attached to how can a young man cleanse his ways? How can a young man cleanse his tracks before those tracks make up a whole path of the person's life and lead to devastation? Ain't it good? It's just the first verse, and it's so good. How can a young man cleanse his way? So here's the first of several things he's going to tell us right now. So if anyone's dirty here tonight, defiled, struggling in their pursuit of Christ, he says this is the first way that you cleanse your way. By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Okay, I love the word word for description of scriptures. Because it's telling me that God is a talking God. He's got a lot to say to you and I. He's got a lot to speak to us throughout scripture. He has many things to say, many ways to instruct us. And I want to just say this very clearly. No heedless man to the word of God ever leads a holy life. Okay, let me say it again. No heedless man or woman ever leads to a holy life. If you don't heed to God's word, you won't be holy. So it's not rocket science. You got to focus. You got to lean into the teaching of scripture. We take a lot of time to break it down in this place. You got to go do it on your own throughout the week. And if you give heed to what you hear, give heed to what you read, you'll be a victor. But if you don't, holiness is going to be problematic for you. Holiness is going to be problematic for you. He says, you got to give heed to the word of God. Now, y'all are doing that. You're here tonight. You're listening to the word of God. You got to heed to it. You got to submit yourself to it. You got to surrender yourself to the authority of God's word. He's speaking. He's got a lot to say. And most of the things that we're wondering about or struggling with, he'll speak to through his word. I actually even believe that if you go to a church that is teaching the scripture expositionally, you'll never leave without something unless something's wrong with you. If the pastor's up there and he is expounding on scripture, listen, even if he doesn't expound and just read, what if I just read all 176 verses to you tonight and sent you on your way? You want to know something? There would be power unleashed because the word of God goes forth. It doesn't need any help on the horizontal. That's what's so majestic about this book. The power is in all, it's all in the vertical. This is an errant, inspired, God-breathed word from heaven for us. If we heed to it, we'll have victory. If we heed to it, we'll experience holiness. If we don't, plain and simple, we won't. How can a young guy cleanse his way, Lord? He's burning in lust. She's burning in lust. They're getting caught up in this. They're getting caught up in that. Okay, well, here's what they got to do. They got to heed to the word of God. They got to lean in to the word of God. And you know, this is the beginning in the stanza in the bay of scriptures that we're in tonight. This is the beginning of the psalmist unfolding a great dependence on the vertical in every verse. And I want to just take a minute to say, I'm so thankful that we can do that. Depend on the vertical. It's not this inner strength. It's not this find this good within. It's not this pressure on us. The onus is on us. It's really reliance on the vertical. So that's something I want to show you tonight. If you're here, you're stuck in the muck, your tires are spinning in the dirt, you're making bad tracks, as it were, stop where you are and start looking up and say, God, I need your help. I want to heed to your word. Put it in my heart to want to heed to your word. Like, that type of honesty is starting to, it's going to start getting you going out of that place of destruction and devastation to holiness. With my whole heart, he says in verse 10, have I sought thee? Lord, what he's saying here is, Lord, I'm really trying with all of my being to seek you, to go after you. But here's the reality, Lord, I don't trust myself. Because his very next breath here is, oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Don't you feel like this is your conundrum? I just don't know. Maybe it's not. These are quiet tonight. This is my, I'll just keep using personal pronouns here. This is my conundrum. This is Romans 7. This is, God, I don't want to do what I do. And Lord, I really want to do what I don't do. And then the conclusion is, oh, wretched man that I am, who can save me or deliver me from this fleshly body, right? And aren't you, like tonight we all say, thank God heaven can, right? So that, because that's what the psalmist is saying. He's saying, Lord, with all my heart I seek you, I really intend to go after you. But I do get dirty and my tires do spin in my tracks, Lord. So I'm asking you, don't let me wander. That's my tendency, God. That's how the hymn goes. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God above, the Lord I love, right? Like that is what I am prone to doing, Lord. I'm prone to wander, Lord. Please don't let me wander from your commandments. It's like he's saying, and even if I faint, I'm still going to pursue you, God, because I know when I come back to my wit, my senses, apart from you, there is nothing. Every Christian in the space tonight that has gone out there, spent some time in the pig slop, went to the left, went to the right, we all know it. That's why we're all back here in the sanctuary again tonight. And then you newbies that are here tonight, they haven't experienced it. Well, you're going to see if you ever go out there. There's nothing out there. It gets old quick. You know, it gets like anything else. Life is such a trap. Everything just seems so wonderful until you have it. You know, and then it just gets old like everything else. The novelty wears off. And he says, God, I want to be after you with all that I am, and my desires are to do that. But I'm asking you, don't let me wander from thy commandments. Thy word, now he's going to point us to the second way that we can move forward and experience cleansing here tonight. I gave you these words at the beginning. The second of four words is found in verse 11, the word hid. He says, thy word, this is how I have victory. This is how I overcome. He says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. That's really good. Thy word have I stored up in my heart. Thy word, you know what he's saying here? Thy word have I treasured in my heart. What he's really speaking about is scripture memorization. We memorize all sorts of things. You go into the dentist office and Warm 101.3 is on and those soft 80s rock songs come on, you can sing every word. Isn't it crazy, though, that we can't barely memorize a scripture verse? And I really believe that the exhortation here, if I'm being faithful to the text, is scripture memorization. Lord, I've hid your word in my heart. Not hid it in a place where I can't find it. That wouldn't do me any good. I've stored it up, Lord, in my heart. I've deposited, Lord, in that spiritual bank account. So when withdrawal needs to be made, there's something to withdraw. Lord, I have made deposits of your word. I treasure your word. Like stats, fantasy football coming up, man. Lord, I studied all these guys. I know statistics. Lord, I know your word. I can quote scripture cleanly. I can, and we should do that. We should start with like an easy verse, maybe an easy small chapter, and then we should challenge ourselves. Like, what if you memorized all of Romans 8? You probably wouldn't need me for a long time. I mean, it starts with, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I don't know, you could spend the rest of your life, that's verse 1. And it closes with, what can separate us from the love of God? Height, depth, breadth, width, Satan, demons, you know. Nobody can separate us from the love of God. And then everything in between, like, he works all things together for the good, for those who love God and who are the called according to his purposes. He who spared not his own son, how will he not freely give us all things? Those are like sandwiched in the middle there. The spirit of adoption, where we cry out, Abba, Father, and no longer, orphans. I mean, these are the things that are in Romans 8. What if we just memorized Romans 8? So he's saying to us tonight, you want to be cleansed? Do you want to move forward in your walk with the Lord? Are you stuck? Has sin's tentacles wrapped themselves around you? Well, heed to God's word. Don't go to sleep. Pay attention. It's not too hard to pay attention for an hour. And then after you've heeded God's word, start hiding it in your heart. Like, even take a verse from the section of scriptures that we move through. The Holy Spirit pierces me. Maybe this verse. Maybe this verse right here. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. What he's saying is this. He's saying this to the Lord. Lord, my heart would be kept by thy word because I'm keeping thy word in my heart. You understand? Lord, my heart is going to be kept by your word because I'm keeping your word in my heart. It's going to be really hard to sin when I got a scripture for that. It will make you miserable. It really will. It will make you miserable. You got too much Jesus to enjoy the world and too much world to enjoy Jesus. But it's good because it brings you back quickly. You start hiding and making a strong bank of scripture within for the Holy Spirit to bring up when you're in a moment of temptation or enticement. It's miserable at first because, like, man, I can't even sin successfully. But then when you come back to your senses, when sin's done making you stupid, then you're like, thank God that I didn't, because this could have happened. And it really could have made a mess out of my life. He's saying, here's the best thing, God's word. Hidden in the best place, my heart, for the best purposes, that I don't sin against you. That's all verse 11. Here is the best thing, he's saying, God's word. What is better than God's word? And he's saying, and God's word is hidden in the best place, my heart. And it's hidden for the best purpose, so that I don't sin against God, so that I can maintain my fellowship with God, maintain holiness before the Lord, and receive his blessings upon me. It's a really solid verse. He's saying God's word is the best preventative against offending God. Because it tells us, it tells us his mind, it tells us his will. And the scriptures tend to bring our spirit into conformity with the Holy Spirit, which is really, really powerful. I hope you at least come back and pause and sit on that point at some season of your life. It's very true. Lord, I have hid your word in my heart. It's there for me to look to, Lord. It's within me. It's part of me. And the goal, God, is that I would not sin against you. Blessed art thou, verse 12, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes, Lord. I'm so desperate for you. I'm leaning on you. There's nothing within me that can do this in my own strength, God. It's got to be you teaching me. It's got to be you aiding me. It's got to be you instructing me. You know, you think of like a little child when you teach him to read. You know, sometimes you're like, just say the darn word. You know, the sounding it out, right? It's just like, you know, it's just very easy. Just, you know, because we know how to read, right? So it's easy to like feel a little push. You just say the word, you know. You're taking so long with that first syllable or whatever. Just push the word out. And you think about a teacher with a child and how patient they are. Sound it out. Clap your syllable. You know, all these things, that all the work that goes in are math. Teaching a child math, right? They're using their fingers. It's like, please, just look how many, you know, you got one finger on that hand, you got three here. Add them together. It's very simple. Use your fingers. Count them. It's four. There's such simplicity to it. But as a teacher, you can't beat up your student that way, or else you're going to discourage them and they're going to quit. There's such a patience being attributed to the Lord here by the psalmist. He's saying, Lord, I need you. He's very needy. I need you to teach me. I need you to move slow with me. God, there's so much that needs to be undone so that you can put your word within me. I had so many preconceived notions. I had so much religion within me. There was so much of moralism intertwined with my theology. Lord, I was such a legalist. Or the opposite. Lord, I was so... I was out in the deep end, God. I was entrenched in sin. Like, this is all... I never thought that would have been bad if I'd said this or did that or went there or put this within me. So, you know, Lord, I need you to teach me. I love how just specific he is to a situation. I need you to teach me. I think everybody in the room can do that tonight as they go before the Lord. Lord, I want to be cleansed. I'm trying to heed. But, Lord, a lot of this is new to me. A lot of this is foreign to me. Lord, help me to hide. Help me to take your word and hide it. And as I'm doing that, teach me what I'm hiding, God. I don't really understand what it is that I'm hiding without your illumination. Which, by the way, if you try to read the Bible without the Holy Spirit, that's a futile exercise. It doesn't. This is the living word when you invite the author to open it to you. You can't just read the Bible in the flesh and think that God is going to be able to speak to you. You need to ask him to soften your heart. You need to ask him to hold your thoughts captive. You need to ask him to open to you, amplify to you what it is that was written, that he spoke, that's his word. You know, without that, how do you have understanding? And again, Lord, teach me. Teach me what these things mean. You know, Lord, there's a lot here that speaks about how to be a husband, how to be a wife, how to be a father, a mother, how to be a steward over finances, how to be a servant in the church. God, I don't have a clue how to do any of these things in the natural. Teach me. So that when I hide them in my heart, they're meaningful, not just this futile exercise of religiosity. Teach me. What type of athlete were you? Like the one that just wanted to do the drill so that you can do the next thing, but you really didn't understand it? Or would you stay there all day till you actually understood what the drill was trying to produce? Yeah, what kind of Bible student are you? Are you just, okay, move, go to the next verse? Or are you the type where it's like, yeah, I would actually want to understand this? Because if I don't understand this, what good is it? We all got to come to the ladder. That's why in your Bible reading, if you only read a verse that morning, but it meant something to you and God's speaking your heart and tears are flowing from your eyes, that's way more significant than you reading six chapters. That's why I ditched the Bible in a year. And it's not a bad thing. Some of you, maybe you love the Bible in a year. I know people that do. I'm just a horrible reader. My comprehension skills are not the greatest. I got to read something over and over again. Sometimes I got to read a passage like five or six times, and I have to say, Lord, I still don't. I was thinking about the game tonight. I was thinking about, you know, last evening's activities at the meeting or whatever it was. I'm so distracted. God, teach me what you're trying to teach me here, please. You know, and I think that that's where the growth and advantage really comes from. Teach me. With my lips, he says, thirdly here, we're going to speak about the heralding of the word of God. He says in verse 13, with my lips, how does a young man cleanse his way? He heeds, he hides, and he heralds all the judgments of your mouth. How are you going to go and sin when you're speaking scripture out loud? How are you going to go and succumb to temptation if scripture is on your lips? That's going to be really hard, isn't it? And the psalmist is saying here, by means of having a cleansed way and getting back on the path, the straight and narrow, moving forward, he says, with my lips I have heralded, I have declared all the judgments of thy mouth. Lord, I speak your word. Lord, I speak your word out loud. I preach to myself. So that when I want to touch it, go to his house, be with her, watch that, put this within me, cross the line that I know is forbidden. Lord, I just start speaking your word out loud, because now it makes, I make a convert out of myself with your word. Because sometimes what's hidden in my heart isn't enough. I can suppress that. I can tell the Holy Spirit to shh and just sort of stifle that. It's sick, but it's true. I know everyone in the room knows what I mean. But if you're heralding God's word, if the word of God is constantly on your lips, not just to you, but to those who are around you, like you are speaking the word of God, it will make it really difficult to stay dirty. If you're like, that's not that good, Pastor, I didn't make this up. This is what the Bible says. I'm just unleashing the scripture to you. You know, I'm just sitting with you as a student trying to take these things in and receive my portion. Because I got the same dilemma going on here. With my whole heart, I seek you, Lord, but at the same thing, the next breath is, but please, don't let me wander too far, God. Well, how do I not wander? Herald the word of God. Speak the word of God. Let the word of God be upon your lips. Make that part of your memorization, speaking the word of God out loud. With my lips, I've heralded all thy judgments of thy mouth, Lord. I have rejoiced, verse 14, in the way of thy testimonies. Your word brings me joy. He says, it brings me so much joy, it's as though it's as much as in all riches. Yeah? Your word is priceless to me. That's his conclusion, because I'm finding a way to be cleansed. I thought it was underneath this generational curse. I thought this thing had such a grip on me, this is such a vice in my life. I thought I'd never be able to break free. I thought for sure by now, you know, I'd be in jail or dead or whatever you would say of your own life, right? If you've experienced the power of the word, you stand with the psalmist in here and you say, Lord, I rejoice over your word. You know, you say with him, as much as in all riches, unlike the riches of the world, God, that are fleeing and uncertain, God, your word is priceless, he's saying. It's proven. In fact, with the scripture, we have something that isn't decreasing in value like currencies and other things out that world that were once so valuable. It's not decreasing in value, it's increasing in value. As the craziness continues to unleash and the absurdity and good being called evil and evil being called good, the word of God's value is increasing. It's rising. As we're watching the news in bewilderment, as we're reading our Twitter feed, as we can't believe the things we're hearing, as we're appalled, we should be all the more like, oh, I got to get to church. I can't wait to hear the word of God. Like now more than ever, it is priceless. It is valuable. It is increasing. It's giving me answers. It's giving me direction. It's telling me how things are going to unfold to the very end. It's everything. It's telling me about the blessed way last week. It's telling me how I stay clean, why I'm in the way, because I get dirty from time to time. Peter, give me your feet. They're dirty. John 13. Peter's, oh, no, Lord, you're not washing my feet. Oh, yes, I am washing your feet. If I don't wash your feet, Peter, from getting dirty, from trotting through this life, well, then guess what? You have no part with me. Well, if that be the case, God, then give me a bubble bath. Wash me from my head down to my feet. No, Peter, you don't need that type of washing. That type of washing's already happened. That type of salvation's already been had. You've been saved, but here's your dilemma. You need to continue to be saved. We don't understand that. Our salvation has many tenses. We have been saved and we have been redeemed. Yes, our souls are secure. We're going to go to glory. But along the way, we need to be saved. We have been saved. We're being saved, and we're going to be saved all the way home. This is sanctification.
This is the problem. You didn't realize that. You thought when you got saved, all old habits were going to be done. You thought you were going to be like instantaneously, practically, this new creation. Yes, positionally, you are. You're a new creation. But practically, that's got to be worked out. That reality of your stance has to be worked out in your life. That's why you still do what you do. This is making sense. You know, this is helping. Because we come in so beat up. Why do I still lust? Because you got a heartbeat. Why am I still prideful? Because you got a heartbeat. Why are you still angry? Because you're still breathing. You are not finished till you get to glory. So if you can understand these things, you won't be so like, oh, I'm so frustrated. You'll have more joy. With the psalmist, I rejoice, Lord, over your word. It's more valuable. It's more precious than gold, silver, bronze, or any monetary system that is out there, Lord. There's nothing like your word. All those things are fleeting and perishing and rusting and being destroyed. Lord, your word, it abides forever. Heaven and earth, they're going to roll up like a scroll, but your word, it lives forever. No wonder why you say of your word, you exalt it above your name. I'm with you, the psalmist says. And it's not because I'm some super saint. It's not because I'm a monk. It's not because I'm a nun. It's not because I'm so holy or holier than thou. It's because it gives me answers and resolve. I love your word, he says. And I want everybody to love your word. It is so precious. It is so valuable. I'm heeding to it. I'm hiding it. I'm heralding it. I'm going to meditate, he says in verse 15. I'm going to meditate in thy precepts. And I'm going to have respect. That's our fourth and final word. The word respect there means honor. How do you be cleansed? How do you move forward? You honor his word. When you are sinning, you are not honoring the word of God. You're honoring your flesh desires. You're honoring your sin nature. You're bowing your knee to yourself and your will. How do you be cleansed? You honor, he says. You have honor unto his ways. You're not just hearing the word to procrastinate. Well, Lord, I don't know what to do. If he should be my boyfriend, and then the pastor speaks about the scripture unequally yoked. Yeah, I know, but I don't know if that really pertains to me. No. That's not what you're doing. That's not honoring the word of God. That's hearing it to procrastinate. That's hearing it just to turn away from it. That's not how you should come to midweek. That's not how you should go to Sunday morning. You should hear God's word and learn of his ways with the intent to honor him in his heart. God, I'm going to honor you. I'm going to honor your ways. I'm going to delight myself in thy statutes. I'm not going to forget your word. He's really strong here in his language. A couple of I wills there in verse 15 and 16. He's saying, Lord, your word, the greatness of your word, it's leading me to great resolutions in my life. These are the decisions I'm making. Your word is truth. That's what Jesus said in John 17. Listen, please. In these last closing moments, I got to get you. Listen. Your word is truth. It's not even just that he says your word is true. He goes stronger than true. He says your word is truth. It's not just your word's true. Oh, yeah, true that. No. Not true that. That would be you saying like that it agrees with what's truth. It is truth. The word of God is truth. Not what the culture tells you. Not what Hollywood is saying. Not what the university provides. The word of God is absolute truth. Thy word is truth. Not true. It's truth. Way stronger. Way stronger. So he says, because it's truth, I love what I'm reading and seeing and hearing and understanding. The greatness of your word, God, it is leading me to great resolve. I will meditate. I will give myself to. I will bring forth to my memory over and over and over again your precepts. It's like a cow chewing the cud. I'm going to bring it back up. I'm going to regurgitate what I read all throughout the day, God. I'm going to meditate. It's not like this Eastern meditation that you hear about where you empty yourself of everything and then just be open to anything. That is not the type of meditation the Bible endorses, and that's dangerous meditation. We as Christians shouldn't be doing that. I meditate. You know, I just kind of like, I'm very open-minded. I empty myself of everything. And then I just kind of hear people, no, you don't need to do that. That's lame. You got a higher way. Remember, that was last week's study. We got the way. You're not emptying yourself of everything and clearing your mind and then just starting to make some humming noises and taking in anything. You're not that desperate. You're not desperate. This is what I told the youth group last Thursday when I was down there at the castle with them. Y'all aren't like the rest of the world. You're not lost. You know the way. If you got to struggle in the way, that's fine. Struggle in the way. You're allowed to struggle in the way. You're allowed to doubt in the way. You're allowed to mess up in the way. That's why Jesus came, grace. You're allowed to do all that. But you're not like, you know your origin. You know your creator. You know your purpose. You know your destination. You're way ahead of the game. You're way ahead of those who have doctorates and other, you know, things in front of their name. You've got it figured out. You know all of these things. Now, you can struggle in this. You got these confines, the word of God. You can struggle in this, but you're not like them. You're not desperate. You're not just a little lower than monkeys, or higher than monkeys. You're a little lower than angels. You know these things. Stop that. Don't let the world, you know, massage your brain with all of its nonsense. You're not desperate for it. You're not like a pathetic girl on a Friday night waiting for the phone to ring from the guy who's jerking her around. That ain't you. That's not you. Okay, you are secure in the love of God. You are secure in your relationship with Jesus. Okay, you're not desperate to fill your mind and your thinking with these idiot stars and what they're saying. And these celebrities, they're good at a sport. They think they're like, you know, they think they're like these philosophers. I hear these guys talk about certain things. They think to myself, why don't you just go play basketball? Why don't you just go be an actor? You're good at acting. Stop acting like you know what you're talking about, but just go be an actor. This isn't your expertise. Go back to your field and do your thing. You're getting paid millions. What do you want? Go. Because they're influencing. There's so many influencers in today's world with social media. We don't need to be we got the word of God. Meditate on the word of God. That is not empty yourself of everything and open yourself to anything. That is bring back to your mind what you've put in your heart. So now he's got everything. That's it. Hide his word in your heart. Herald his word with your mouth. Honor his word with your brain. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. And then you'll be kept from temptation. Then you'll be kept from sin. And when you're not, it won't be because of him. It would just be because we stopped abiding for a bit. But when we want to get moving forward again and stop spinning our tires in the muck, we know where to turn. We know where to go. We know what to do. And the grace of God comes alongside of us, and onward, upward we go. Amen. He says, Lord, I love your word. And I want everybody to love your word because of the answers that it gives. So that's for you here tonight. If you're in a place where you're struggling, if you're a place where you're down, if you're a place where you're tempted, and it's so good that he said, young man. I hope all week long you think of a young man, just raging hormones, pimply face, squeaky voice. Seriously, because is there a stronger flame of temptation than lust? Don McClure, at Calvary Gray, worship team, you can come. I just want to tell you this story real quick. Years ago at a pastor's conference, he's the funniest storyteller I've ever heard. He's just really good. So he's telling this story about when he was a little boy, how he used to catch flies and pull the wings off of flies. Boys do weird things. So nowadays, that's very clean compared to what other, you know, boys today do, you know. So he used to catch flies and pull the wings off the flies, and then watch the fly struggle to move. Now y'all are thinking, I'm never listening to Don McClure again. Hang on a second. So then he takes that and he says, you know, I remember doing that as a little boy, 8, 9, 10 years old, whatever I was. And then I remember, take that, put it aside for a minute, getting to 15, 16 years old. And my hormones just raging, lust of the flesh, and trying to read the word and like follow the Lord as a young guy. And he said, you know, I remember just saying, Lord, how in the world am I supposed to, like, honor you in this way? And the Lord says, because that desire that I put within you is to not be acted on yet. is good. It's there by me, from me, but for you and your wife one day, and only for you and your wife. Then you get to experience that and share that with who I have for you. And he said, I said, God, what you're doing to me is crueler than what I did to those flies by pulling the wings off. Because he said, is there anything more difficult? But Lord, if you're saying that even a young man can be clean from those fiery temptations, those things that burn so strong within, then who can't be clean in the room? And the answer is nobody. The blood of Jesus is sufficient. Heed to his word. Hide it in your heart. Herald his word with your mouth. Speak his word. It's the second time the Holy Spirit had me say this to you in the last two services. The other day I quoted Ephesians 5, be being filled with the Spirit of God, and speak forth songs and hymns and melodies, making music in your heart, giving thanks to God always, for this is the will of him in Christ Jesus. And then honor his word. Conscious decision, like the psalmist said, I will. I'm going to do this in the future, God. I'm going to do this because I see what your word can do for me. Jesus, thanks for this time in your word, the instruction, God, that just has poured out from Scripture. Lord, please put it within us, God, to take it and to apply it to our lives, we pray. Let us bless your heart and put a smile on your face as we sing this closing song to you. And it's in Jesus' name and for Jesus' glory, all God's people said, amen. Let's stand and sing to him.